It's a shame that the church is facing the challenges and the issues that it is facing today. As we look at the compromise of denominations with God's scheme of redemption for mankind, the challenges, and that's not only from denominations, I should say, and the challenges to change worship from a God-centered worship to glorify Him and show our adoration to Him to an entertainment activity with excitement and emotionalism and drama and humor and all. And the challenges to meet those who want to question and minimize the authority of God's ordained bishops and the church. And realizing the false teaching that is rising even from within the church. And then we look at what's going on in society with humanism and the threats there. The home, as God would have it, being challenged and threatened today. And as we look at the moral issues, how morality is no longer considered absolute, and the sexual freedom, promiscuity, considered that which is common, the respect for life no longer what it once was and should be with abortion, euthanasia. These are just some of the many problems, the many issues that the church is facing. And it's not just evangelists, it's not just the elders, but it's every member that should realize that we must stand up and face these issues, from the people in the pew to the leaders that are ordained by God in the church. But I'd like for us this afternoon, to center in on the responsibility of the evangelist. And of course, I don't think that we could do any better than to take the charge that Paul gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I believe that there's nothing better here, because as we look at the end of that charge in verse 5, we find that Paul said, "But be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist." So here we know that he's writing to an evangelist. We're talking about the responsibility of the evangelist, the messenger of good. In other words, a preacher of the gospel. And then as we look at the second epistle, if you look throughout that epistle, you will find several times within that epistle that Paul expresses concern for false teachers and false doctrine that is being taken throughout the church, and expresses concern for what is happening to the church because of false teaching and false doctrines and those issues then that were of his day. We can see that that is expressed in the words immediately following that charge in verses 3 and 4 there. When he said, "For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables." So he's expressing the concern of what those challenges will bring to the church. And so he gives a charge to Timothy. And it's that charge that is our foundation, the study of our lesson, when we think about the responsibility of the evangelist in facing the issues that are challenging the church today. And as we look at that, I'd like to remind you of one more thing surrounding that charge. Going back to verse 1, that charge is made in the light of one thing, very important thing. And the charge is made in the sight of God. "I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom." We must realize that as the evangelist faces the issues and meets his responsibility, he is doing so as God's man, doing God's work. And the charge that he must accept is a charge that is given in the sight of God. So with that in mind now, let us continue on to verse 2. Just a very short verse here, but packed with responsibility. The responsibility of the evangelist in meeting the issues and facing the issues. "Preach the word, be urgent, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching." I'd like to divide that into three parts. First of all, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word of God. We know, of course, that that means to preach the teachings of Christ and His word, because He is the messenger that brought God's message to us. The Hebrew writer makes that clear in the first chapter, in the first few words, in verses 1 and 2. "God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers and the prophets by divers portions and in divers manners hath in these last days spoken unto us through His Son." So Jesus is God's spokesman to us. It is His commands that we must turn to, that we must obey, and we must take out to others in facing the issues. Jesus Himself in John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49, He said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day." But now notice, He makes it clear what those words are. He said, "For I spake not for myself, but the Father that sent me, He hath given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." So He makes it very clear that what He has given us is what has come from God the Father. And He gave the charge to the apostles in the Great Commission. "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Is there any less of a charge for us today, for evangelists, for preachers of the gospel today? And especially when we have to face the issues that are challenging the church. It is to preach the gospel. It is to preach the commandments of Christ. And of course, we know that those commandments were passed down through the apostles and the prophets of the New Testament. And we have those writings so that we have God's Word. We have the inspired writings, the teachings of Christ, all the truth. All things that He had taught them were brought to their remembrance. And so we know that that is what we are to preach. And with that in mind, we look at what Paul wrote to the preacher Titus. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1, he said there, "But speak thou the things which befit the sound doctrine, which are appropriate for sound teaching, for sound doctrine." That's what we need to have when we... That's our responsibility. That's the evangelist's responsibility. And I meant to say this to begin with, too. I'm not saying anything new. All of those who are preachers of the gospel, you know this. And those who are not, you know this. I don't have anything new to add today. Just reminders. And not just for the preachers, because those of you who are not the preachers and the evangelist, I want you to be reminded so that you can commend those who are standing up and fulfilling their responsibility, and those who are not, to remind them of what their responsibility is. And it's to preach the Word. And now then, I'd like for us to look on the negative side to see the positive side, what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Because there he said, "If any man teacheth a different doctrine..." In other words, not that which he should be preaching. "If any man teacheth a different doctrine..." And then he goes on and says, forgot the next word here, "agreeing with..." I can't remember what the American standard word, but it basically says, "agreeing with sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ." If someone is teaching that which is not in agreement with the sound words, which are the words of Christ, he's going to tell you something about that person. The ones that are not agreeing with that doctrine which is according to godliness. Well, that tells us what we should be doing in meeting our responsibility. Teaching those sound words that do agree with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, which are according to the doctrine of godliness. But what about the one who is that one teaching a different doctrine? What did Paul say about that one? As you continue reading there in verse 4, it says that about that one, "He is puffed up, knowing nothing, but doting about questionings and disputes of words." And I believe that that describes so much what we see today in those who have arisen within the church. One who is puffed up, going away from sound words because of his conceit, because of his pride. I thought Brother Charles brought that up very clearly last night. One of the reasons that we find some of the issues today is because of those who are filled with their own selves. And I have often thought, and I realize I've said, preach the gospel, and that means not opinions, but sometimes you can interject opinion, and when I do, I make sure you know it's my opinion. But it's been my opinion for a long time that as you look at many of those who are leading the liberal movement in the church, they are those who have gotten their big degrees and their PhDs and all, many times in denominational schools, and I just wonder if they don't feel like they have to come up with something new to impress people. Filled with themselves, puffed up. And that's the description that Paul gives here of one who is not holding to those sound words. He knows nothing, Paul says. He does not realize or will not accept the truth of God's Word, but wants to bring something new to us. And he's more obsessed with the controversy and the arguments over words. But Paul tells us here that the responsibility of the evangelist, first of all, is to preach the gospel and nothing but the gospel. The Word of God, that is our responsibility. It doesn't matter what I believe when I get up in the pulpit. It doesn't matter what the elders believe. It doesn't matter what the most influential people of the congregation believe. It doesn't matter what the instructors of where we went to school believe. It's what the Bible says. It's book, chapter, and verse. It's thus saith the Lord. And that's the responsibility of the evangelist as he meets the issues, as he faces the issues that are challenging the church today. And notice there that Jesus said when he gave that great commission, that he said, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. In other words, we can't decide to leave some out and, you know, preach. I know we like to preach on love. We like to preach the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord. We like to preach the how to live the Christian life. And we need to preach those positive lessons. And there are those who do not like the negative lessons. And there are those who will not preach the negative lessons. But when you're dealing with issues, it's going to get negative at times. And Paul said that we need to preach the whole counsel of God. For I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. Acts 20, verse 20, 27. And back up a few verses, he said, how I shrank not from declaring unto you that which was anything that was profitable. And friends, it's profitable to know what God says about issues. And we must be willing to stand up and not shrink back, regardless of what might come as a result of that. We need to stand. John Waddy, in his book on preaching to preachers about preaching, he said that the acid test is that very thing, that he will preach the hard things. It shows a man's faithfulness. He said it's easy to preach to those who want to hear the things that you're preaching. But when you're preaching things that are hard and people don't want to hear, that separates the men from the boys. And I say that separates the men of God from the men of Satan. We need to realize that we cannot shrink back, but the responsibility of the evangelist is to preach the things that people do not want to hear. Preach the things about drug abuse and using drugs and dancing and of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I appreciate it. Brother Ted couldn't have made it any clearer. How could anyone misunderstand what he had to say? These things need to be said. It's a shame that they must be said over and over and over again. But they must be preached, the whole counsel of God. And the preacher cannot shrink back for fear of being fired. Preachers cannot be fired from preaching the gospel. Now, there may be a weak eldership and a weak congregation that wants to rid themselves of one who does so, but he cannot be silenced, in other words. He cannot be fired from preaching the truth. He may have to go elsewhere to do it. But he's God's man doing God's work. So that is the first responsibility of the evangelist, to preach the word. And the whole counsel of God. Secondly, notice he says, preach the word, be urgent, in season, out of season. The word urgent carries with it the idea of standing by, being prepared. You're standing by ready is the idea there. In season, out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient, at all times, in other words. So the responsibility of the evangelist at all times, but especially in facing issues, is to be prepared, no matter what the situation is, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient, be prepared to stand and defend the truth of God's Word. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, said, but sanctify in your hearts Christ Jesus as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. Be ready to give that answer. And that's what we need to do. That's the responsibility of the evangelist in facing issues. Now, I'll illustrate it in this manner. I've been preaching only about full time, at least, only about a year or so, and not having the background that most of you have of 2 or 3 years of concentrated studies, I was always intimidated. In fact, sometimes I still am by the knowledge that some of you have, but especially then, I was very intimidated. And I went to a seminar held by one of the congregations that had somewhat of a left-leaning. It was a seminar on leadership. And they had a man, I'm sure you probably have never heard of him, by the name of Lynn Anderson, who was leading that seminar. And he stood up and was giving his advice on leaders in the Lord's church and how they really do not have any inherent authority, but they are men who just rise to the top like the cream of the crop, and therefore by their example and by their abilities and all, they are the ones that lead the flock. Well, I knew better, but I didn't. I was intimidated, and I didn't think I couldn't find all the scriptures right away and everything. And some of you might ask, why were you even there? Well, I was there because we were beginning a gospel meeting the next day with a man by the name of Gary Colley. And the elders had gotten this flyer, and they talked with Gary, and it was decided we'd all go to that seminar and see what was said. Well, Gary wasn't intimidated. Man, he stood up, and he asked what this scripture meant, what this scripture meant, what this scripture meant. And I've prayed many times that if I'm ever in a situation like that again, that God would help me to have the boldness and the courage to stand up as Gary did and do exactly what I think Paul is talking about here. The responsibility of facing issues is to stand up and defend the Word of God, is to be urgent when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. And that was not what you would consider a convenient time. Now, I'm comfortable standing in the pulpit at the congregation and preaching on marriage and divorce and remarriage and on dancing and things like that. That doesn't bother me. I know that that's needed and I have to do that. It's not convenient to do it in a hostile situation. But we need to be prepared to do that. In considering preparation, again, I want to take an illustration that I read in the book by John Waddy. He illustrated by looking at a man in service and his preparation and the gospel preacher and his preparation. And after all, we are in a warfare, are we not? Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, war the good warfare. And we know that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the world rulers of this darkness and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, Ephesians 6, verse 12. So we are in a warfare. And so I think it's a good way to illustrate. And he pointed out that the soldier is going to have to know the issue, know why he's there fighting, because if he doesn't know why he's there, if those soldiers in Iraq do not know the issues of why they are there, their heart will not be in it. And they will not fight as hard. And so it will be with the evangelist. We must know the issues so that we know why we are there. We know what is at stake. And here I have to preach to myself, because one of my greatest downfalls is the fact that I have to force myself to read. And so I get these periodicals and all, and I look at that and I'll put it down. I'm going to get to that. And I realize that I don't read as much as what I should, and so I probably do not keep up with the issues as much as I should. But we need to do that. That's part of preparation, knowing the issues. Now, there's another way you can do it, and this is the easy way to me. That's lectureships like this one. I just eat that up. I enjoy sitting and having it explained to me. I guess I need to be spoon-fed or something. I don't know. But I enjoy that, and all of us can take advantage of that. But we need to know those issues. We need to know what is at stake and what is happening. Secondly, in preparation, we know that the serviceman is going to know his weapon. He's going to know it inside and out. He's going to be able to take it apart and put it back together again. He's going to know how to use it the best he can. So it is with the evangelist in facing issues. Paul writing to Timothy again, 2 Timothy 2:15, give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. And that is necessary. We must study and know God's word. We need to be able to take it apart and put it back together again, so to speak. We need to know how to handle God's word from the beginning to the end and back again. Know the weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, I think many times, you know, that, boy, Paul and Peter, they were inspired. They didn't have to study. And I spend hours studying, you know, and I think, boy, if I didn't have to study, I could do this and that, and so much more that I could do that I'd like to do. But, you know, even the inspired Paul, what was it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, when he told Timothy to bring the cloak? What else was it? And the books? Especially the parchments? Now, we don't know what were in those, but that kind of implies that he wanted to do some reading and maybe some studying of old scriptures and all. I don't know what it is, but it makes me see that here is a man that, even though inspired, he wanted to do some reading of some sort. And knowing Paul as we do through the scriptures, I would imagine it had to do with spiritual enlightenment and study and reading. We need to be that way. We need to want to read and study God's Word. In the third place, we find that the illustration was that the serviceman needs to know his enemy. That's one of the problems in Iraq. I understand that. Sometimes they don't know their enemy. And sometimes we do not know the enemy. We need to know those who are teaching and preaching false doctrine. We need to know those institutions that are turning out those kinds of men. I know of a congregation that some years ago, the preacher, he was aware of what was going on, but the elders were sticking their heads in the sand, and a deacon kept encouraging them to send a group of teachers down to ACU to the teacher's workshop. And the preacher kept giving them all kinds of information and all kinds of warning, and so they didn't do it. But then the next year, the deacon comes back, and one of the reasons that the elders made the decision the first year was that I think it was Richland Hills was the one conducting the educational workshop. Well, the next year, it was some congregation they didn't know. So, well, that'll be all right. Sticking their heads in the sand. They needed to know the enemy. And then in the fourth case, the soldier needs to know his terrain. Afghanistan, they have to deal with the mountains. Iraq, they're dealing with the desert. He needs to know his terrain. And friends, the evangelist in preparing himself needs to know the terrain. You need to know the teachers, the preachers around you. You need to know the congregations around you and where they stand and what they stand for. And I might say the same congregation fell into that trap. Again, the preacher continued to warn the elders because they would let the youth go to youth rallies and youth gatherings and all where they should not have been. And that congregation, preacher finally left. He just got tired of trying and warning and warning, and he finally left. And they've had three preachers since then, preachers who are not preaching book, chapter, and verse. And you see now a congregation that they do not teach anything wrong that I know of. I've never heard of anything, but they are ripe for the picking. Because there are those who do not know the enemy, and they are those who do not know the terrain. And they're allowing those within the congregation to be scattered abroad. We need to be prepared to defend the truth. And that means being prepared in many ways. Now then, finally, the third thing in this passage, we find, preach the word, be urgent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. As we think about that, I appreciated what Brother Ron said last night. These first two are very similar, but yet they're different. It's the responsibility of the evangelist as he faces issues to reprove. And reprove basically has that idea, carries that idea of convicting, to convince, to bring the error to home to the one in error, to help them to realize, like those who were convicted on the day of Pentecost, bring them to that point to convince them that they might turn away from that error. That's reprove. That's the responsibility of the evangelist. But then if that does not happen, if that's not the case, there is the rebuke. As Brother Ron mentioned last night, that severe censure. And the idea there is to seriously speak with that one, to warn that one, to try to see, help them to realize where they are going and taking others with them, even if it means marking them and all. And then the third is to exhort, to admonish, to urge them to change their ways, to change their actions and their activities. Urge them to change. So that we see here is the responsibility of the evangelist in facing the issues. As we come across those who are challenging that which is right, not only should we be ready to defend, but we should be ready to reprove and rebuke and exhort. And then he says, with all longsuffering and teaching. In other words, there is a need to be patient. And I don't mean that we should tiptoe around things and not mark one or speak one, name one or anything like that. But we do at times need to be patient and instructive, trying to bring them out of that error. I appreciated so much what Brother Randy said this morning, referring to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and following, that the Lord's servant must not strive, but be gentle towards all, apt to teach, forbearing, in meekness, correcting them that oppose themselves. Now look at that. That doesn't mean, again, that one should yield and tiptoe around the issue and let the issue go quiet. And all, but meekness carries with it the idea of power, authority, firmness, as Brother Randy said this morning. Being gentle towards all. There's the being, in love. And the two can go together. We ought to be concerned about those brethren. And we should be willing to work with them and try to instruct. Now I realize, the Lord said, there comes a time that you no longer will cast the pearl before swine. But as long as we can, we see any possibility, we need to be persistent in trying to instruct and teach and bring them out of that error. We look at, I get another thought here. We shouldn't be afraid to do so. Again, sometimes we don't want to speak up. We don't like to be negative and all, but this is what clicked in my mind here. I wanted to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. We find there that Paul said to Timothy, "For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of what? Of power, and of love, and of discipline. And therefore we should not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We should not be ashamed to stand up. Nor of me, of I his prisoner," he said. But then he goes on and says, "But suffer hardship with the gospel according to the power of God." Yes, there may be a time that one will have to suffer difficulties and hardship because you are willing to stand up and reprove and rebuke and exhort. And there may be times that you hesitate to work with one, but in love and gentleness, we need to be firm and stand for that which is right and try to instruct them out of those things. I'll give you a couple of examples. That of John the Baptist. Think of John. Luke chapter 3, verse 19, we find there that he reproved Herod for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things which he had done. Now, you think that was a difficult situation for John? Going around holding his head on here. I mean, John was, he was going to lose his life. But did that stop him? Did that stop him from reproving? Of course not. Trying to convict? Of course not. To rebuke? No. The preacher's, the evangelist's responsibility in facing those issues is to do whatever is necessary, even if it is negative, to stand and defend the truth of God's Word. I think of what Paul said. I think Ron mentioned this last night again. Titus chapter 1, verse 13. Referring back to verse 10, those unruly men and vain talkers and deceivers. What did Paul say of those in verse 13? He said, "Reprove them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, that you might bring them to a soundness of faith." That's the responsibility as we face these issues. And then finally, we look at the example of Paul as he wrote to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The word "beseech" there is the same word in the Greek as the word "exhort." So he is urging them, "Brethren, I urge you that ye all speak the same things. I urge you that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfected." You be perfected in the same mind and the same judgment. I urge you, he says. This is the responsibility of the evangelist. To preach the word, not to shrink back for any reason. To be ready at all times, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. And when necessary, to reprove, convict the one who is in error, trying to bring them out of that error. And when that doesn't happen, to censure them severely and to urge them to change their ways. The church is facing many issues. And friends, if you're an evangelist, you need to take up the charge. And if you're one who is not, you need to encourage, commend the ones who are, and encourage those who are not. I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. But be thou sober in all things. Suffer hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill thy ministry. Thank you.